So tonight, we're going to dedicate this episode of the podcast to Gordon McFarlane, a lifelong Bairn who sadly passed away over the weekend. One of the masterminds behind the original Back the Bairns campaign that saved the club, he was a bus convener of the Denny and Banknock Supporters Club. He was a club's media and programme editor for several years, but last, but by no means least, a family man who was simply Fokker daft. Gordon, this one's for you, mate.
McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great one by Kevin McAllister! What a ball that is! Deliveries good, there's Hagen. Down the door. He scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sybold scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome along to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the one and only Falkirk FC. I am your host, John McInally, and joined by a man so eager for Saturday to come, he started his own Dunfermline at Home advent calendar. It is Ross Wayne.
That's a cracking idea. I should do that, shouldn't I?
I know. What would be behind the doors, though? What would be behind the doors?
Results from previous pumpings, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Just little pictures of, like, you know, Scott Arfield going, get it right up again, Tony Stokes doing the keepy uppies, and the, That's it.
Tam Scobie looking to the sky, that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Let's, do you know what? Let's start a Falkirk Daft Dunfermline advent calendar. We can do it for the next home game, the countdown to the days. Like that. It's a good marketing idea, Ross.
It is a good marketing idea, and I think people go up for that, wouldn't they? Because it just gives you a wee nice wee boost that morning.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll hear that we've got, unlike last week where we started off the podcast a bit doom and gloom, we've got some lift in our voices, smile there.
There's a smile. There's a bit of a bounce, and I think it's going to be a big week. Obviously, tinged with sadness in terms of the passing of Gordon over the weekend, but do you know, I know how he felt about this club. I know how he felt about this game.
Yeah,
his family know only too well as well. So if there's one game where Falkirk could be doing like a magnificent win, let's do it on Saturday.
I'm pretty sure the club will mark it on Saturday as well.
I think there's going to be a minute's applause. I think good. I read before the game, which is a real nice touch.
And, that's really nice. Such a servant to the club, such a supporter of the club. It's only right that we applaud the work and everything that Gordon done for Falkirk. Tinged with sadness, but smiles on our face because of the result at the weekend. We're recording tonight on Halloween. Ross, I've got a question for you. What player would you dress up as if you were to go as a Falkirk player for Halloween?
Oh,
I'd have to be Ricey, wouldn't it?
Oh, is this like Falkirk
with the ginger hair?
Falkirk player of all time, right?
Okay. Yeah, you just have to go as Ricey, wouldn't you? You know, get the visa toll, visa home stop,
Hummel strip. Exactly. Try and do some sort of side parting if I can with my hair, and then take it from there. Absolutely.
Do you know what I think? I'm just slightly tall, so I think I'd dress up as big Kevin James and wear like a really small shirt, like really tight on me, like he did in the '97 Cup final when he tried to whip it off, you know. And
the long sleeves always seem to just go halfway up his arm as well, didn't they?
Aye. So big Kev, I'm going to go shave my head. Big Kev, here we go, big Kev.
Well, you've also got a bit of a resemblance for Jonas. Do you remember Greg Shaw?
Greg Shaw?
Got a small resemblance for Greg Shaw.
Hi, who have you come as? I've come as Falkirk midfielder Greg Shaw. Do you remember him?
And then they go, no, I don't, I'm going to have to Google.
Hold on, you look... I know, do you know what, but before we get into, I've put it out on Twitter about Halloween-based Falkirk players. We've got some big news for the show, haven't we, Ross?
We do. There's breaking news has came out this evening to Supporter Society members, John.
Yeah, and what is happening?
So there's quite a lot going on. So if we just pick out some of the...
By the way, that wasn't the big news I was talking about. Oh. But you, let's continue with the Falkirk Support Society, then we'll come to our big news.
Ah, our big news, sorry. Yes!
No, continue with the Falkirk Support Society, because this is breaking news. So this is like Sky Sports Centre. Like we've got, we're like Jess Stelling in here. Yeah, we've here just we go. Got some break. Can we go to it? No, we can't. Can we go to the Falkirk Support Society news? Yes, we can.
Yes,
Ross
we can.
Wayne.
Yes, we can. Right, there we go. So we'll kick off with the Support Society big news. It's just broken, and then we'll come to our even bigger news, John. So a couple of things that have just came out from the latest Support Society email, which has just landed, to say they are delighted that John Wright has accepted Falkirk Supporter Society's nomination as a director of Falkirk Football Club, having been the sole candidate in the recent election. So John replaces Doug Moody and will sit alongside existing fans director Nigel Serafini, championing fans' interests in the boardroom and working with the board to rebuild our club. John had said, "I believe passionately in wider fan participation that the FSS is striving for. Falkirk fans have a window of opportunity to turn our club around and are succeeding. I am acutely aware of the challenges our club faces and want to play my part as a director to ensure Falkirk Football Club not only survives, but also thrives." And it goes on to say, "A lifelong Bairn, born and raised in the shadow of Brockville, John had a successful career in the public and private sectors, including local government, oil industry, the NHS, and ran his own IT consultancy before retiring recently. John's also been volunteering at the club, helping the commercial team, reviewing IT, and generating ideas to increase income." And as it finishes, FSS members will get the chance to meet John and Nigel at an event very soon.
Well, listen, well done to John. I mean, a bit, listen, you know, he's retired, so he's going to have the time, you know, to put in. I think that, you know, you read the first line, he went unopposed, you know, which is a shame because you want, I guess, you want a contest, don't you? You want, but in ways, you know, I think people were maybe slightly put off by the amount of hours that you're going to have to put in to do the directors. And we all want sort of what's best for the club at the end of the day.
I think you know, John, you're probably right. It would have been nice to maybe have maybe one other person going for it. However, if it's one person and the one person's got the time, the passion, the energy to do it,
exactly,
then he gets my vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. So best of luck to John on the board, and hopefully you can make FSS feelings known at that level. And there's more FSS news, is that right?
There is, just before we come to our own special news, yeah. So people have seen this on our socials previously. However, there's obviously their draw, which we're going to do on the podcast this evening. So this is the first of the Support Society monthly draws. First prize, as we know, is hospitality for two in the boardroom, kindly donated by the club. Second prize, and I would say the better prize, is a bucket of beer donated by ourselves here at Falkirk Daft, which I do have the bucket to hand, actually. So I'm ready to drop
there
that
you go. Beautiful.
Yeah, we need to drop that off at the
top. Just checking the budget, Ross, here for the beer. You're saying a bucket of beer. That looks like an awful big bucket there.
Yeah, we're going to fill it halfway, though. It's fine.
Right, good. Just checking. Yeah, budgets don't stretch that far in Falkirk Daft, you know.
Plus, there is only so much beer they can drink before a game.
This is true.
That's true. The guest prize, and there's two guest prizes, which is great. Afternoon tea for two worth £85 on a tour of either Glasgow or Edinburgh on board a vintage Routemaster bus. Now, that's supplied by the Red Bus Bistro, which is brilliant of them. And last but not least, quite a remarkable late addition from a very generous fan and member of the Sports Society, who's donated two tickets for the evening with Simon Stainrod, which is taking place this Saturday night after the derby game. So absolutely brilliant. So that's fab.
Do you know what, Ross? I think it's great, and the deadline was today to join the FSS to get into this draw. I think, you know, it looks good. It looks like there's less than just we're shy of 600, I think, now,
Is 590, apparently. Yep.
Which is great boost in the last month or so. Do you know what? And we're going to do what we call in the radio business a tease. So If you stay to the end of the show, we'll do the draw at the end of the show to find out if you're getting one of those great prizes, the hospitality, the beer bucket, the trip on the Red Bus Bistro, or those tickets for the Simon Stainrod evening. We'll do the draw at the end of this week's show, okay? Other things going on, I put this out today on our Twitter. As it's Halloween, I thought, let's have a bit of fun and look for some spooky bairns. So we've had a few come in, Ross. Jim has got Pump Ken Edie.
I like it. I do like that one.
Yeah. David's got Simon Slainrod. Sabatino. Sabatino Damas Murderer. That's quite good. That, for any younger bairns, Sabatino Damas is Falkirk's first foreign signing. Never played a game.
6 minutes or something like that.
He played 6 minutes off the bench, yeah. Demon Bannon, that's a bit tenuous, I'm going to give, say, David. Or how about just Leo Fasan? Yep, that's scary enough. Why Bairn?
That gives me the fear, that one. Yeah.
Why Bairn says Farid El Al Bui.
That's a good one as well.
Good. For those with long memories, Tom says Kenny Ashwood, nightmares guaranteed every Saturday night. And Tyler jumping on our bandwagon, Ross, and saying, here's Johnny Joy.
Oh, that's a belter. Fair play. Good.
Well done. And John goes, Bile Taylor, Eddie Slay, or Boo, be a legendic. And Milsey finishes off with a joke. Do you want to hear this one? Yes, you can maybe, when you're out guys and tonight, Ross, you can maybe use this one. You ready for this?
Right, go on then.
What do Fifers do at Halloween?
I don't know. What do Fifers do at Halloween?
Pump Ken. There we go.
Knowing Malik, I'd end up chapping a actual Fifer's door who just lives locally.
Ross, forget Halloween nonsense. We've got big news here on Falkirk Daft. This is going to be an extra podcast, and you are going to tell us what we can expect this week, Ross Wayne.
Yes. So our big news here at Falkirk Daft is that we have secured a double signing, John. It's a double signing of the manager, John McGlynn, and assistant manager, Paul Smith. They're going to come on to a special episode of the podcast to be recorded this week. And we're going to put it out on Thursday as a bit of a build-up to Saturday's big game. And I am absolutely looking forward to speaking to the pair of them. I can't wait.
No, I can't wait. We're going to have a special episode going out on Thursday ahead of the game, as Ross said. However, my worry slightly here, Ross, is we're just going to have to ask John McGlynn two questions in the full 45 minutes. It's going to be done, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Do you know what? It'd be great if you get in touch. We'll put this out on our socials as well. We want to do some quick fire questions with them. So I'm thinking, you know, who's the best player you've ever worked with? Who's the hardest trainer? That kind of thing. So we'll do the big questions, but if you could get in touch with those quick fire questions that you want from John and Paul, we'll put them to them on the special podcast this week ahead of the Dunfermline game. So get in touch with that. We'll put it up on our socials as well, but I'd love to hear from you on that. And I'm intrigued. I can't wait to speak to John McGlynn. There's so much I want to ask.
He's passionate about him, isn't he? He's so passionate.
That's it. I want to find out, you know, why he came to Falkirk, what drew him to the club. I want to find out about his philosophy in football, because I think it's, as a manager, he's really developed, you know, and really evolved as a manager. From when you see what he used to do, you know, to what he does now, I think there's some really interesting questions to be put to him. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I think this is going to be brilliant, John. And obviously, I'm nervous about it as well, because obviously it's John McGlynn, and I know we, Lewis and Stuart, talk to him every week, but this is slightly different in the respects of, obviously, from our
see if we ask the wrong question and he goes at us. Oh no, I don't want a dressing down off of John McGlynn.
I know. Should obviously, as you know, I spoke to him very briefly on Friday.
Did you absolutely shite it?
Like a proper nervous.
Hi John. Hi.
Well, he answered the phone. He went, "Hi Ross," and I went,
Putting me on the back foot straight away.
So that'll be really good. Can't wait to get that recorded this week.
I'm shiting it already. Do you know what? Jake, I'm going to have the boss to say, why do you and Paul dress the same every? Is it like a team thing?
maybe their wives insist.
Is it like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Twins?
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
I don't think we can ask that.
I'm going positive in. Why not? Why not?
Brilliant. So listen, John McGlynn going to be on Falkirk Daft this week. So look out for that. Episode's dropping on Thursday ahead of the big derby game. But we've got, like I say, we've got smiles on our voices. We're looking forward to this episode because we're coming off the back of a big W. And we're going to look back right now at the Queen of the South game. And every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to invite a guest pundit. And I can't believe it. This has just been dropped on me. I got a message from Ross saying, our pundit's dropped out. So I've asked Dave. And I was like, Dave, who? And he went, Dave, your brother. So it's a bit like the Hogarth derby. It's the McAnally derby. I have to say, though, David, in fairness to David, not only is my brother, he's also head and he's been the absolute linchpin in the Crunchy Initiative. Basically got the South Stand to change to the Kevin McAllister. 3 years of really hard work he's put into it, almost causing himself a divorce. I thought he was going to be back at my mum and dad's soon enough, but, you know, he sorted it out. And it's, you know what, really proud of the work he did there. And I'm sure every Falkirk supporter, you know, because it looks brilliant. It does. So let's welcome my brother to the podcast. It is David McAnally.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks for having us on. A last minute sub.
Yeah, I was just saying to Ross, it's like, Dave's coming on the podcast. I was like, Dave, who? It's like, Dave, your brother. I was like, oh, that's why I had a missed call from him.
Which you dinged, apparently, George.
Oh, well, that's not unusual, to be
honest. Yeah, I was in the middle of a shopping, man, you know, and then I was like, I'll call him back later, and I forgot to. Sorry, well, buddy.
No, that's all right. I spoke to Gordon, actually, because Ross informed me who your guest was that pulled out, so...
He's coming on next week.
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to set a suitably low bar for him. So, and then it reminded me that Scott Steele had the guitar and that out.
Scott last week upped the game. Have you got any musical? I know you haven't got any musical talents, David, but have you got something you can do to us? It's like Britain's Got Talent. It's like Falkirk's Got Talent now. Can you perform something for us? It is Halloween. Have you got a joke, for example?
Oh, come on. Could have prepared better for that.
I did notice on the you've put some Halloween based bairns up on the Crunchy Initiative Twitter. Can you give us those?
Yeah, if you want. I thought you would. Were you not reading them all out?
I've read out your first one. So we were. I think this was from you, David. Simon Slane, Rod Farid, El Halagui, Sabatino Damas, Murderer, Demon Bannon, which was very poor, by the way. Or Leo Fasan. Have you got any more?
I was going to go for Demon Lewis, but then I thought, let's not mention his name. That's
That's a better pun, though.
Probably, it is a better pun. I know.
He'll be tagging you on social media now, having a go at you, though.
You need to watch out for that. Eh? I was going to use it, but then it would ruin the Leo Fasan ones, because Demon Lewis is equally somebody that you don't even have to put a pun in his name to send shivers down the spine.
What else you got then?
All right, go on then. I went more contemporary. I went with this the squad for the current squad. So I've got Coffin Yeats.
Yes.
Or Yeats. And I was like, who are you going to call, Donaldson? And there's a wee bit of a connection with the last two, because there's Leon Hannibal the McCannibal. It's a bit of a stretch. But then
that's a big stretch there.
It leads on to a bigger stretch of Gary, I ate his Oliver with some fava beans and an iced Chianti.
That's a big stretch. Can I just say, we've actually had a few, since we've started recording, we've had a few that have come in, so let's give a few mentions to some of these. We had Johnny Flynn, Jimmy Gilmore, and Saul McGivern. Have come in for there, and I saw my favourite one which came in. I'm just going to find it. We've got Anthony Spooks from Boney Unks 227, and there's another one that came in from Wayne Fester. That came in from him as well. And Dell, the best one yet, Witchy Cadet.
Decent.
Anyway, David, before we get into the Queen of the South game, you have some big news from the Crunchy Initiative involving the game this weekend. Do you want to tell us what it is?
Yeah, sure. It's we've been talking to I spoke to Jamie Swinney. I've been talking to Stuart Adam at the Falkirk Supporters Society. So I bought the last 25 remaining programmes for the Kevin McAllister stand, and I was planning to sell them at some point. I got Crunchy to sign them, and I'm going to sell them and get the wee prints that we made, but get them put in sort of A5 size or something. So with the money that I was planning to do something, I've obviously not sold them yet, but hopefully I will make a return on the money. But what I decided to do was, with the FSS, we're going to put 60 beers behind the bar at the Brockville Bar on Saturday. They'll be available for anyone that's in the Falkirk Supporter Society. So if you want a free beer, you'll need to join by Friday. And we'll give you details closer to the time about how you can claim the beer. And it's an honour of, it'll be Crunchy's 60th birthday next week. So just for something to do, and maybe just a wee bit of the build up to the match, get folk a few beers and hopefully get a wee bit of a buzz about the place. I'm sure it won't need much more, but and also I think Jamie said the bar opens at 12, so it's going to be a first come, first served basis.
Is it one per customer?
9 minutes past 12 then, will it?
Well, I think it will be one per customer.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, no worries.
But the sooner you get in there, the bigger chance you've got of getting one, because once the 60 are going, they're going. So
it's a great idea.
And hopefully, if more people in earlier and more business to the club. So, and
brilliant. Really, really good idea. Brilliant. So 60 free pints behind the bar at the Brockville Bar, in the south stand from 12 o'clock. If you're an FSS member, get there. You'll get CD details on how to claim your free pint, but get down to the Brockville Bar on Saturday before the game and get yourself a free pint courtesy of the Crunchy Initiative. And David really hopes he can sell these programmes, otherwise he's going to be way out of pocket on this. You know, Christmas is coming up though, David, so that's a great Christmas present as well.
Just I've got the time to get it sold, but I'll say as well, I don't know if it's a pint, it's beers, but I've not clarified if it's a pint or bottles. So
right, okay.
Either way.
It doesn't matter, yeah, David. It's free beer. That's all that matters.
That's it,
exactly. We mentioned the Crunchy Initiative. You briefly there. You worked on this project 2.5 years, going on 3 years to get this the stand named after Crunchy. And I mean, I have to say, David, and me and Ross were talking about it, it looks exceptional. It looks brilliant. So hats off to you. I mean, how hard was it getting it over the line and getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult. I mean, I don't want to bore into too much. This is one thing, I was on the Falkirk podcast, and I was always a bit of trepidation coming on here because I thought it was the death knell of the Falkirk podcast. luckily they done another episode after my one, so I think it was a good cure for insomnia. But I mean, it was a bit of a graft. Well, Ross will know as well. We started to, you know, the plan was always to do it and make sure it was done correctly and make it look nice like we did and have like a friendly and just do it the best way possible. And it's when we started, I think we first sort of convened in January or something, and not long after that, St Mirren named a stand after Tony Fitzpatrick. And I mean, he's a big legend, you know. I work at St Mirren, and you know, I'm sure everyone does have respect for sort of other club legends and stuff. And clearly he's massive to St Mirren fans, but I mean, they named a stand. I don't think, I was there not so long ago and I was having a look, I don't think there's any signage. They had a plaque which I couldn't even see, and I think the plaque was near a toilet somewhere, and it was just this really like crappy wee thing. I think they had like 6 people there to honour them, and it was sort of done as a surprise, and they had this wee tartan scarf or blanket thing over it, and it was like immediately when that happened we were like that's kind of exactly what we don't want to do. So yeah, it was just the hardest part of the start was trying to convince Crunchy to do it. That was one of the toughest things, because he's quite, you know, he's not a fan of the limelight, I don't think.
No.
But I think he just talked to his family and, you know, said how much an honour it would be. And I mean, one of the things he said to me is like he was getting slagged off his workmates when he sort of suggested that the idea had been floated to him, and they were all like, oh, what, you dead yet? You know, because normally these things are done post humorously, but I was like that. Well, exactly. You don't want to, you know, kick the bucket, and you want to have the chance to see it, you know, and have fans honour you. So, I think that's the biggest thing. It was long overdue, and it should be great for him to go by, and particularly his family and that, so to see it. So.
Yeah, and it was a great occasion, obviously, with the friendly against Kilmarnock and to open the stand. And I mean, the whole thing looks great, David. So well done to you. Well done to everyone on the Crunchy Initiative for making that happen, because those things make a big difference to the club. It makes our club look bigger, you know, having that sort of thing. So well done, David. I know you went through a lot of hard work and almost a divorce to get it. So well done.
Yeah, aye. We shall not name Kevin McAllister in the house for a little while.
Yes.
Until I quite like a program for Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
I quite like my sister-in-law, so don't do that, David. Don't do that.
No, Marie did get to meet him at the game. She's like,
she right, did.
I've met you at long last, heard your name so often. So, it was good. And like I say, it was a good night. So the main thing as well with the whole night was that he enjoyed it. So we had a whole bunch of ex-players and that there, I'm not even sure exactly who turned up, but I had a list of them all that were there, and some good cracking names.
I saw Marino Keith was there, which is amazing.
I don't think I recognised him, though, because I think he's...
Yeah.
Is he not went a sort of bit...
He's went total bot, he's total shit.
I saw him, I think it was him and Paul Mathers walking up the stairs, and I recognised Paul because I see him, at St Johnson games and stuff, but I sort of said hello, and then it wasn't until after I went away, and I think you said, and I realised that's who it was, you know.
Yeah.
Cracking player, him, and a few big legends.
That was great night. Well done. I know your Bairn story, but the listeners won't know what your Bairn story is. What? How did you get into Falkirk? What was your kind of?
I think it was you. I think you started going. I don't know who was it, Bloy or whatever. You started going to games, Matt. I can't remember.
Yeah, I started going to with my mates Harry. And
so you started going. I would have been 11 or whatever, and I think you then got a season ticket. And we're talking about, and I think I went, I can't actually remember the first games I went to. I think I might have got into Jeffrey's, a couple of games under Jeffrey's. It was kind of Lambie that I started a bit more regularly.
What a terrible way to start.
Which is bizarre. I've gained the connection. But of course, we had the sort of 96-97 run, and Crunchy came back, and that kind of got me hooked. But I loved it, like, as a kid going there. Just walking up down Graham's Road or getting a bus into town with my mates and going there. And, you know, you kind of felt like a bit of an adult, even as a kid there. And you got to, you know, swear or whatever, like singing the choir, go in the choir section and just sort of be a part of it all. And it's just it was just hooked on that whole thing, you know. It always takes back, like, see when you go in, like, see even things like the smell of mud kind of reminds me of Brockville and that. I know it was a bit of a shithole, really, but like it was
special,
you know. Yeah, it was special. That was it. And I, after that, kind of started going regularly. I don't think I got my first season ticket till a bit later on, though. I used to just pay at the gate most times, and then because I think I still played rugby at that time on Saturdays and stuff, so I couldn't go to every game. Just went on from there. But unfortunately, obviously, the work that, you know, I sort of work a lot of Saturdays, so I can't go as often as
I mean, David says his work, he is a cameraman for All Sky Sports, and he's actually off to film the World Cup, the third World Cup he's filmed. So he's off to Qatar in a couple of weeks' time to film that. He's been to Brazil, he's been to Russia, you know, it's all right for some. So you, unfortunately, obviously as a result of your work, you miss quite a lot of Falkirk games. But you will have a favourite player, and you're not allowed to say Ken McAllister, or Simon Stainrod, or Russell Lattipe. So out with those three, who's your favourite player?
I was thinking about that because I was wondering if you're going to ask me that question, if it's just too obvious an answer as who it would be. But to me, one that's not actually been mentioned yet, and I was lucky to be working alongside him the other night there at Pollock, is Darren Barr.
Oh, hi.
He was just a great player. Just he gave his heart and soul, great tackler, kind of guy that could just pull the team together. But yeah, I was a massive fan of Darren Barr. And I think it was kind of exemplified by his last year when he'd sort of signed a pre-contract. And normally there's always a bit of like, you know, fans kind of, anytime they have a bad game or anything like that, and start to question their loyalty, you know. And I don't think you ever got that with Darren Barr. I don't think it's one. And it wasn't an easy season. I think that was his last season when we stayed up, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If we went out.
Yeah. But I mean, you couldn't question his loyalty to the club and his work rate. You know, he just, despite the team struggling a bit, he always gave his all. And he was a great player. I love Darren Barry.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were working alongside Big Lesexy as well. It was Big Sexy, Lee Miller, and Darren Barr on the same panel, wasn't it?
I know it's not often you get to Falkirk legends that are in amongst the work. It's normally ex-Celtic or Rangers players, so I made a change. I mean, Neil McCann used to, I mean, Neil McCann, great player, I wouldn't necessarily become a Falkirk legend, but he did well for us. But he always used to get a good bit of chat and we'd talk about Falkirk. But I didn't get speaking to Lee Miller, he was up in the commentary, so I didn't really get chatting to him.
You probably just got to gaze at him from a distance.
Longingly.
Well, the other guy we have recently who's appeared is Peter Grant, has started doing a little bit of work.
Oh, has he?
This guy, so I've not had a chance to talk to him.
Peter Grant Jr., not Peter Grant Sr., just double checking Yeah. We'll look out for Peter Grant being a cameraman soon enough then.
Well, I don't know if he's not in the camera section.
Is he not in the cameras yet? Right, okay.
No,
take really ages, it's really slow in turning the camera, just like he does when he defends. Right, let's get into the match then at the weekend. I missed that, hands up. Ross, you were able to catch it. David, you seen the highlights?
Yeah, I saw the highlights of the game, yeah.
Ross, talk us through us then.
Comfortable. I thought it was brilliant. I thought we played really, really well in the most. Really, really chuffed with the 3 points. Tough place to go. Although I nearly got the right result. On last week's podcast, I think I said quite confidently it would be 3-0.
And you when did.
It was 3-0, I was particularly chuffed with myself. But I thought we played really, really well. Really well taking goals. The intensity was there, unlike the last sort of two games. Like, I know the Celtic game, that second half, we did kind of hammer them for a large chunk of that, but it was a real poor game. And the second half against Alloa was a bit iffy as well. But in terms of this game, it was, yeah, if we could recreate that for the rest of the season, we'll be absolutely fine.
It just seems that every game we come, maybe Celtic, obviously Celtic aside, but we just come out the traps, and Montrose aside as well, out those traps and bang it. Just, I don't know what it is. We get that blip, we get a kick up the arse, and then it's back to right 100 miles per hour at the start of the game. You know, first goal comes within 5 minutes. You know, the breakup field after the Queen's mistake, great cross from Morrison, Burrell there, who started the move, gets in the end with a header.
It was nice. We slide real pass by Burrell to Morrison down the wing, really, really nice cross in, and bulleted it in the back of the net. So absolutely brilliant start to the game.
Just simple, and that seems to be, we seem to be good at that all season. It's just that transition from defence into attack and counter attack. It seems to be a real mark of our game that McGuinn's put in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say certainly say so. Dave, what was your thoughts from the highlights that you've seen so far?
Yeah, no, I thought it looked good, you know, some good chances created, but it's obviously hard to see, to give a full account without seeing the whole game. But the one thing the goal at the end was a bit sloppy to give away, and I think that's always the fear amongst the team. I think what I think was really good about that the weekend was that it's really encouraging to know we can have a kind of different attacking lineup and be just as effective. Because I think that's always, like, I think if you can find a solid back four, particularly the centre halves, who seem Donaldson and Henderson seem to have a good partnership there, then your worries about getting the goals. And I just seeing Kai Kennedy getting in the action, and Morrison Burrell getting another couple of goals, it's just great to see that we can go down a difficult place to go and get 3 points quite often. So that was one thing that's pleasing. But again, the worry always is you start off like I think the last game I went to was the Arlo game we used to, and I thought it was going to be like a record scoreline, and they seem to have this thing I think where they feel comfortable in the game, and they're maybe a wee bit lackluster when they're taking their chances. But the worry always is if you're only 2 goals up and they score a goal in the last sort of 10 minutes, then it changes the dynamic of the game. Yeah. So I think that's the one thing, is maybe just to get a control in the game when we go up a bit more and make the most of our chances. But no, I can't complain. I mean, the hardest thing to do is score goals, and it seems like we've got plenty amongst the team now, which is good to have.
Yeah. I mean, talking through, we didn't talk about the changes that were obviously made. Allegri, Oliver and McGuffey going outside. Not so surprising, McGuffey and Oliver, because Ross, it's probably something we've been asking for a couple of weeks now. Surprised that Burrell came in for Allegri?
Do you know, I wasn't on Saturday. I know we didn't really talk about that scenario happening, but actually, when you think about it, John McGlynn's obviously looked like he said he would have.
Yeah, done tactical thing. Yeah,
he's done a tactical thing. He's looked at Queen's back four and or five and thought, do you know what, the speeds are going to cause them problems. And true enough, they did. They couldn't handle Roumar on Saturday. The boy was phenomenal. All over the place. Work rate was so high. People are obviously talking about Luau, no getting much game time. You just wonder if the difference maker is that work rate that he's maybe got inside him in terms of Roumar, because he's all over the place, absolutely all over the place. And he obviously took his 2 goals well, 2 difficult ones as well. One was a fast-paced cross, the other one was a deflected cross, but it hung up in the air quite a bit, and then he got a real good contact on it. So absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. David, you talked about the kind of defensive frailties, and Liam Henderson, for example, when we almost gave away our equaliser, if it hadn't been for a good save from Nicky Hogarth, and then Cole Donaldson probably at fault for the Queen of the South goal from Murray. It seems that Liam especially had some iffy moments recently, and you know, Cole, I'd have to say that's probably the first mistake I've really seen Cole make. Would you change anything going into Saturday, guys? Would you look at moving Brad McKay into centre-half or bringing Sean Mack in? Well, sorry, as well, Sean Mack, he wasn't on the bench, apparently it was a family bereavement, so best of wishes to Sean and the family. I hope it wasn't a major one. But yeah, would you change
it? Personally, I wouldn't. I think with Henderson sometimes it's weird, because for the size of him, you'd think he wouldn't get bullied as he does sometimes. I think that was
Agyeman certainly against Kelty, had given him a torrid time.
I think it was it the Dundee game as well, you know, just where there was a couple of games where he was kind of getting bullied by guys he really shouldn't be, you know. I'd say that's his worry, but no, I think generally I don't like to upset a centre-half pair, and I think they've done okay. If you're trying to protect them, maybe then you maybe think about sitting somebody a wee bit further deep in front of them. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen Brad McKay at centre-half as well, and he's done a lot better this season. But would I want to take Henderson out and unsettle the back four?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I would just keep the two together.
I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate, I think, because I don't think I would change. Liam has, I mean, he's had a couple of shaky moments in the last couple of games. I really like Liam Henderson. I think, there was certain games he's just been absolute linchpin at the back and strolling forward like Virgil van Dijk with the ball. Ross, it looked like Nesbitt again. He was just pulling strings left, right and centre in that midfield on Saturday.
Yeah, brilliant again. I thought the midfield was fantastic on Saturday. Nesbitt was brilliant. McGinn's passing was just so on point. Honestly, a couple of two or three of the passes, you've probably seen them for the highlights as well. He was just like a pin. And Yeats was back in his normal position. I thought he did brilliantly as well. So, no, I agree with Dave. I don't think I would make many changes, if any, for Saturday. I know you mentioned you thought Cole was at fault for their goal. I had to watch it back to see what was going on there, and Mackay doesn't follow the runner, which for me was a big part in the goal. So I don't know. You could argue maybe the two of them were at fault there. But yeah, I think Mackay, and he was good, I'm not going to lie to you, but I thought that, I thought his sort of, he fell asleep at that point, and that was why they scored. It kind of put the rest of the defence into a bit of a, into a bit of a position. But no, I agree with Dave. I don't think I would make any changes for this one. I think that's probably the attack, the attacking type team we need to go with at home as well. Too often we're, and I know it sounds daft because we've scored a lot of early goals recently, but a lot of people talk about, oh, it's just one up front. But actually, see if we can just hit them and early on. I think Dunfermline will maybe crumble on Saturday if we score an early goal or two.
Yeah, Kai Kennedy comes in for his first start. Looked very lively, good feet for the goal, great finish across the keeper. What did you make of his performance, Ross?
Tidy. Again, I think he's been waiting for a chance to start, and I thought he did really, really well. And again, I would keep him in there for Saturday. He's ex Dunfermline as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Did he play with him at some point? So yeah. Hopefully he's got a wee grudge there, and because I think their only current player who is ex-Bairns, was it Todorov?
Kevin O'Hara.
Is Kevin O'Hara playing though? Is he? I've not seen his name.
I think he's maybe injured at the moment.
All right, okay. So on that base, well, obviously Mehmet's the keeper, and you've got Todorov there. But actually, the pair of them were treated really, really well at Falkirk, and it was fairly successful to an extent for the two of them. So on that basis, I don't know if they'll have too much of an axe to grind, but I'd love Lee Kennedy to kind of go and attack that fullback, whoever they put up against him, and show what he can do.
No, absolutely. Points off though, Kai Kennedy wearing gloves. I mean, come on, why wear a short sleeve top and gloves, right? Do you know what I mean? That's just pointless. You wear a long sleeve top and gloves, fair enough. And, you know, come on, Kai, you're brought up in Scotland, son.
That's the thing I was actually wondering. Do you still get long sleeve tops? Because, see, when we were looking to, back to, we got the shirts framed in the Brockville bar, and when we're looking for pictures to associate the one with Crunchy wearing the actual top that we got framed, but a lot of the pictures had the long sleeve version. And when you look back then, there was a lot of players would alternate between the long sleeve and the short sleeve. But I can't remember. I used to love a long sleeve top as well, but I'm not sure you...
Oh, do you know what, Spicky, you say that? I've got one behind me, Dave. That's that's a player's shirt for about, what's that, maybe 12, 13 years ago. And you're right, though. It was maybe just after that season, Falkirk stopped wearing them. And do you know why? It was the emergence. Remember the...
The Under Armour.
The Under Armour.
Yeah.
The Under Armour's been a brand for a while, but that was this, I think, roughly about that time was when players always just wore that. And the club obviously thought, well, we're paying extra for a, because you do, it does cost more for a long sleeve shirt, obviously. So they obviously thought, well, kind of, there's no point paying for that if they're not wanting to wear them. So that, I think that's kind of where that's went.
Aye, that's a collector's item there you've got then, Ross.
Yeah.
But still, the point stands. Short-sleeved and gloves. Come on, Kai.
The thing is as well, it's been... I was working at Murrayfield on Saturday, and it's really mild at the minute. So it's not even like... Even agreeing the December months and something as well, we still don't like to see the gloves on. But at the minute, it's like... Still pretty mild, you know. It's certainly no glove weather. So no.
Listen, I'll take it from Big Juan. He's from South America. He comes from the Colombia. You know, he's used to the beaches and the sun and all that sort of stuff. He can wear gloves all he wants because it's a, you know, it's a terrible climate to come into. This 15 degrees is like his winter. Do you know what I mean? So Juan, acceptable for gloves. Kai Kennedy, I'm not having it.
It's all right. I mean, gloves are all right in the winter, but as long as they don't wear the leggings, I'm 100% against that. Like, that's just wrong.
See, the thing is, this time last week, were we not talking about the impact of mothers and wives in Scottish football. Maybe it's his mum. Maybe his mum said, "No mind and wear your gloves."
You wrap up, son.
It's cold outside.
You're going to play that football in that cold. You mate, you'll catch a death of cold if you don't put your gloves on. So maybe that is. Listen, I think you know, you've looked at the last couple of games. Alloa, there's another example. Just start games, and we just need to keep going. We just need, I think they need to discover, because it's great, they're playing great football, great in transitions, great on the break. It's just, I think we need that little bit more relentless, you know, attitude. And I think once we find that, and if we do find that, I'm sure John McGlynn is absolutely trying to install that into the players. But I think once we find that relentlessness, we are going to wipe this fucking league.
Come on, honestly,
I'm getting excited. I've been looking at your Dunfermline advent calendar, Ross. Right, listen, I mean, you know, the stats say it all, 53%. But actually, we were short in possession. It was, Queens had most of possession, 53% to them, but they gained 12 shots on goal, 7 on target. Come on. We're just waiting to pump a team 5 or 6-0, and I hope it happens on Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, I'm getting excited on it.
I was just saying Friday actually as well as I think the 16 years ago since Stoke scored the hat trick at Easter.
Is it really good fat? I mean, yep.
Yeah. I just could would love something like that again, you know.
Absolutely.
The thing is that your Saturday night maybe. Yeah, your Saturday night could be made or broken based on the afternoon, you know. Simon Stainrod could be an empty, audience for a...
No one's going to make it long to the Stainrod night if we were to have an absolute result. Absolutely.
Know. Fingers crossed.
Will we hear from the manager?
Yeah.
John, a really professional performance today. A great start to the first half as well.
It was a great performance, you know, a great away performance, yeah. Fantastic start, quite the opposite of last week, you know, and more like the way that we normally start games, you know, on fire. Great move, which Romano's involved in when he plays the ball into Callum and he gets himself in the box. And it's a great ball fired across the face of the goal, and Romano's done really, really well to get on the end of it and a bullet header. No chance for the goalkeeper. And we were playing well, you know, we were playing well. Again, another in transition, very quick break, which we were renowned for. And, you know, Romano and Callum involved in it. The ball's kind of like floated up in the air. Romano's obviously followed it in the air and got a really, really good header on it to get us 2-0 up. And I thought we totally dominated the first half. There was a little bit of breeze here today going down towards that goal. Which might have had a little bit to do with the way the second half went as well, but totally delighted with the response for the players. Second half, you know, we get the dream start by getting the third goal. Kai really delighted, his first start for the club, and getting on the score sheet as well. Good tricky feet and a good strike to score from that angle. So delighted. Obviously, Queens have came into the game, pushed us back a little bit and we're having to defend, and we got cut out on one of the occasions, and they've managed to score in that. To be fair, they were in the game at that point in time, and if we had been a little bit weaker, maybe they could have got more. But I thought we were very strong. I thought we responded well to losing that goal, and the threat didn't really materialise that much for me. I thought we seen the game out very, very well. We probably turned the ball over a little bit too much in the second half, which allowed him to come at us. But I felt, you know, we dealt with nearly everything. And delighted for the players, absolutely delighted for the players, delighted for the fans that have travelled down here today and backed us in numbers. You know, thanks very much for coming, and your support is much appreciated. You know, a long, long journey, and we do appreciate that. So the players for responding, you know. A few questions asked after last week, and they've delivered the goods today. Sets us up very nicely for the game next week. So congratulations to every single player. So every one of them put a real shift in today. The effort, the desire, the application. And we're going to have to do that every week, you know, and we can't afford to drop off that kind of like, you know, intensity and tempo in our game.
So only 2 minutes 48 from John this week on McGlynn Watch. But yeah, I mean, he said it all really, didn't he? Talking about the transitions, the quick breaks. answering questions that remained from the Celtic game, you know, which was the important thing. It was obviously, I mean, I'd love to have been a fly in the wall in training on the Monday after the Celtic game, because it was, again, Ross, would you say, was it a night and day performance, or was it just kind of picked up from where they left off?
It was night and day, both in terms of football played and attitude. So I think you're right. I think he's probably absolutely went through them. Yeah. Quite rightly as well, because it was unacceptable. If we want to get out of this league, and the greatest respects to Kelly, we need to be winning against them amongst most of the teams. So, he's obviously looked at it back. We knew he would. He'd probably watch it 4 or 5 times, knowing John and Paul. And he's identified weaknesses in Queen of the South, and we've exploited it. And I'm sure he'll be doing the same again this week before we play that lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get the views from the supporters. Peter kicks us off with saying, great result, shows the importance of starting well, boiling away in the first half. No exaggeration to say we could have scored 4 or 5 by half time. Third goal important. Then we sat off a little. No doubt to go to Palmerston and win comfortably is really impressive. Happy fan indeed. COYB. That's from Peter.
Good stuff. Falkirk FC News, always difficult away tie, blew them away, squad looking great, roll on Saturday against that team from across the water.
Yeah. And Dave says, job done, brilliant 3 points on the road. If we started every game like we did today, we'll be a nightmare for any team in Scotland, never mind this league. I mean, it's just, he felt sorry. Roman had a couple of chances for his hat trick. That shot from 18 yards, there was a ball kind of flashed across the goal. You want to see him get his hat trick, because I don't know if you heard the interview with Roman as well. He's a very confident boy, as we heard from his Edinburgh City interview as well. I love that, though. Love that.
No, it's great. He didn't quite live up to that in the few games after.
I was quite disappointed that he didn't come out.
But no, even when he's not scoring, he's causing issues. You know, I just love the one thing I think about a team. We've got so much pace throughout it, and that causes all kinds of issues. And Roman is absolutely lightning. But not that, you can see there's a player in him as well. You know, just the way he was sort of, that goal he scored at the weekend with him and Morrison linking up was tremendous, you know, and just, and the way he took those goals against Edinburgh City as well, just running off the back. If he can get someone to find those runs, then I'm sure he can score a lot more.
Absolutely.
Because they're almost indefensible runs then, because then they have to push further back to not allow the space in, but then it can come forward and, get the ball there. He's obviously no bother with having the ball at his feet either. It's having the players that know to pick out his runs. It's a big thing. And that's one thing. I always, when the short time we've seen Pearce Carroll, I mean, love to see him more, given the sort of 10-minute cameo or whatever he's accounted for. I know he's a young lad, but I mean, he's just firing balls right over the top on him. So
passing him, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. But the other good thing I was going to say about Saturday is just allowing Yeats to get back into midfield. And I wondered if that was the whole thing about Brad Mackay. You know, he's not a right back in the mould of Williamson or anybody else. I mean, Yeats wasn't really a proper right back either, but he'd done a job. But he's clearly a midfielder, and I think what that allows is he has the legs, and it allows McGinn to sort of sit back, do his game, and let Yeats do a lot of the work around him.
What a difference it was having him back.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Definitely.
Pete says, fantastic from start to finish. Also, great noise from the travelling Bairns as well.
Yeah, Stuart's saying, comfortable win, solid performance. Burrow and Kennedy, standouts today.
Colin chips in with, totally unpredictable. Comfortably beat Alloa, get destroyed by Kelty, and we go on to beat Queen of the South. Can someone please explain? I don't know if we can.
I don't know if we actually can. Yeah. And Craig, Willie Gibson's best game for us. Willie Gibson was at fault for the second one. He gave the ball away for the second one. I actually heard his post-match interview, and fair enough, came out hands up saying, better team won today, we were rotten. And then Craig goes on, shame it took a decade or so to come. Willie Gibson always used to play really well against us, so Goody had a bit of a nightmare on Saturday.
Indeed. And Chiggs, shout out to Chiggs for a potential new song for Roman.
Yeah, Chiggs has come in with, we should start a song for Roman saying, Roll out the bottle, roll out the bottle of goals, roll out the bottle. Or you could be rum, and the rum out in the bottle doesn't work. So roll out the bottle of goals. I think we can
start.
You can start it on Saturday, Ross, and I'll follow.
As long as you do. As long as you do.
I'll look forward to hearing that in the highlights.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right, Falkirk Daft rated player Ross. From highlights, I can't really judge, so we'll leave this on you this week.
Romain Bernard for me.
Yeah, two goals.
But his overall work rate was fantastic as well.
Can I give a Falkirk Dafty then?
And do you know, I will, but it's purely on the basis that it could have cost us early doors, Henderson with that incident. It could have been a game changer. Thankfully it wasn't and we kicked on, but it could have been.
Tell you what, Henderson's picked up a few of these Dafty awards this season, by the way. I'm sorry, Liam. I can't believe you've missed Kai Kennedy and his gloves.
Yeah, but
give it to Kai Kennedy and his gloves.
Yeah, no.
I know he scored, but it's unacceptable. Gloves and short sleeve shorts are unacceptable in my opinion. If you wear one, right, so I'm Falkirk Dafty, I'm overruling here. Kai Kennedy and his gloves. There we go. David, thank you so much for being our guest pundit this week. Remember, if you want a free pint this Friday, beer. We don't know if it's a pint or a bottle yet. Get yourself down to the Brockville Bar before the games, 12 to 4. You'll be able to, if you're an FSS member, you can pick up a free beer, courtesy of the Crunchy Initiative. So again, David, thank you so much for doing that. And don't worry, when those prints with the signed programmes do go on sale, we'll give them a good plug in the podcast so you can make money back.
Exactly. I was going to, I don't know if you've got time, but if you're waiting on the next guest, but I did have a wee video that I was hoping you could analyse, because I was so impressed by you with your low bar and all that chat. I can't even. I just set the low bar, but yeah, the low block and all that. So I got a wee clip just hastily edited together so that.
Oh, this is great! You're going to do me here, aren't you? You're going to do.
I might have these both.
Right, okay. Yeah.
As long as it's not from a night out.
Right, go on, David. Share what you've got because we're going to get done here either way, aren't we?
Right, are you able to see this?
Oh no!
Talk us through that, Ross.
Just in case you're listening to the audio version of this podcast. It's Falkirk versus Larbert. It's Falkirk High versus Larbert High. What year was this, Ross?
2005, 2006.
And
back when we had grass and there was no Kevin McAllister stand.
Wow.
Pretty much. So no, Ross and me played in this game. I led the Larbert High team. Ross led the Falkirk High team. I think we beat you that day, Ross, 3-2, I believe. On the Larbert High.
But see if we're talking analysis, look how good I am here at looking for the ball.
Right, okay.
Yeah, good space.
Play the clip, David. Play the clip. Here we go.
Nice. Look at that ball through in. Turn.
Great turn. The shot, maybe something to be desired.
Yeah. And there's Rod. I'm in the goals, right?
John in goals.
Oh, Jesus.
Do we have his kick out here?
Yeah, we do.
Watch the YouTube version for this horrible
To be fair, like, it's always one of these things in goals, and you see keepers warming up all the time, smacking it over the halfway line. They make it look so easy. But if you ever, you know, you can take a shot from 20 yards and blast it way over, but whenever you hit a goal kick and try to put the power in it, it's...
I'm glad you're covering me up here, David. I'm great to see this. Please watch the YouTube version of the podcast.
It's not in the edit, but there was a later part where I think Chris Todd, who is a very good footballer, doesn't do much better with the distance. So there we go.
Do you actually make it outside the box here?
Made it. And I think
probably I'm back in. Oh, just past the post.
Look at that, Ross Wayne was.
Goalie's gift.
Goalie's gift, aye, exactly.
There's the next one, yeah. Keeper.
Is this me involved?
Yeah, yeah. This is you running into the front post, I think. Yeah. Oh. So John's.
I've just made a mess of save there. Yeah.
And
Ross misses from 2 yards.
Oh God.
Good block on the line, but I didn't expect the striker.
I could have had a hat trick here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Please tell me, keep rolling this, David. We'll talk to it. Here's another kick out from me.
This is a good one here.
Right. Is this when Ross dives?
No, wait.
There it goes. Shot by a sniper.
I got the official SFA referee deemed that a foul.
I can't believe you got a foul for that. That's just ridiculous.
Let's watch the stages Ross goes down in a game. Yeah. This, a foul. I want to know.
Right. There's the vicious kick to my knee, and there I was down.
Mere stages in the Pavilion Theatre, you. Jesus.
To be fair, they always say you need to, you know, give the referee an option, you know, make him make his mind up. Exactly. You did that. He had to do something. So he got the free kick. And, some would say harshly given.
Right. This means the goal. Throw it in the net.
Could have done better there.
Throw it in the net. But here's the winning goal, I believe.
Yeah. John
let's just talk through the winning goal now, shall we? Let's talk through the winning goal. Play it, David. I want to talk through the winning goal here. So it's Falkirk 3, Larbert High 3. Oh, there's John with a wee 1-2 off the head. What a finish. Sheepy, fantastic. Up the road, 4-3 to the Bairns for Larbert High. So there we go. John, and there's the post-match interview with Ross with a lot more hair.
John, are we trying to say that was an assist by you on purpose?
I believe
it. There's no way.
An assist. You meant
that. It literally hit off your face.
1-2. Listen, thank you for bringing that up, David. 4-3 Larbert High, up your Falkirk High. There we go.
There you go. And that is available somewhere, the full highlights available somewhere on YouTube.
Well, but do you know what? We'll post up the link on our Twitter. If you've listened to the audio version, we'll stick up the link on our Twitter so you can watch that terrible, terrible efforts from me and Ross. David, thanks so much for being our guest pundit this week. Remember, if you want to be a guest pundit, drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to look at the games ahead, and it's the big one this Saturday. It is the Derby. As we face those from across the water, those from Mordor shall travel across the Kincardine and Forth bridges and invade Hobbiton. I think I should have a better analogy than that. Anyway, from the That's Never 10 Yards podcast, it's Michael Wood representing Dunfermline. How you doing, Michael?
I was doing well up to that introduction. But apart from that, very well, thank you for having me on.
Nice to see you, Michael.
Are you like us, Michael? We've been talking about it on the show. We're just counting the days. We were thinking perhaps there is a market in a Dunfermline Falkirk kind of advent calendar where you open each door and there's a fantastic Falkirk victory behind each door as you get towards the game. Are you like that? Do you get that kind of feeling running up to the game?
Yeah, it's the first ones you look for on the calendar when they come out for the fixture list, isn't it? So yeah. I think you're always looking forward to it. And with Dunfermline this month, there's not many league games outside of yourselves, Clyde and Peterhead, who obviously I think we all see as like the minnows of this league just now. So with that, I think this is our month at the moment. So I think every Dunfermline fan has been looking forward to it, especially since the last one came in between that period of postponed fixtures because of the Queen's passing. So yeah, I think every Dunfermline Falkirk game, it seems a massive game, no matter the context of the occasion.
No, absolutely. You got a good view at Falkirk, obviously, at the last game. Michael, what did you make of Falkirk as a threat?
Well, I mean, it's standard under McGlynn, like a great passing side, want to attack, be on the front foot. I won't go as far as say I enjoyed it, but I think what I liked was a team actually coming to attack them, feeling East End Park. A lot of teams have been quite aggressive in their ways, sitting deep. Inviting them, feeling onto them, and trying to obviously break on the counter attack, but it's not worked for teams in that favour. So I just like to see that team go at Dunfermline because I think it's the way you can beat Dunfermline, but it's also the way that Dunfermline get most of the joy as well. So I think this is why these couple of games and the games going forward between us the rest of the way are going to be entertaining the affairs. As much as the meaty challenges will be flying in, of course, but the actual football and show will be entertaining as well.
Yeah. Michael, I agree with you. I think there could be goals on Saturday. I genuinely do.
Yeah, I was looking back on like the previous occasions, not that necessarily has an impact on what is, but I think in the last 12 or so years in league anyway, we've both won 8 games each, drawn 4, and there's not many occasions where both teams have been held scoreless. So I think there will be, I'm not sure it'll be a high scoring affair, but I definitely think each team will get a goal at least.
Yeah. How do you think you've been going under McPaik this year, Michael? There's been some criticism I've seen of just the style of football and stuff, but I'm guessing, you know, the stats, I mean, you've only had one loss, and that was that up at Links Park a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you're 4 points ahead of us at the moment. What have you made of McPaik's style in coming into the team?
I think he's settled the team down, obviously, the more defensively structured. And considering he inherited a lot of these players, and he's adding, like, obviously, his own influence in terms of getting some of the young players into the squad as well. I think what we lack is, and the reason it's maybe not entertaining or scintillating watch all the time, is there is not much pace in the team and there's not many wide options. So he's stuck with like with the Falkirk game, and after the Kelty Hearts draw, I think he went back to the 3 at the back and put Comrie and Josh Edwards as the wing backs, and I think they provide the kind of width, and that's where they're feeling get a lot of their threat from. But then them and themselves are not fast players either, so they don't have like the trickery to go with it. I think the only kind of flair play we've got is Mockery. So it's really a team of like hard workers, industrious guys. None of them are like failing talent-wise or ability-wise, but they just don't have that kind of X factor about them, that kind of real spark that we've seen maybe the last time we had Elbak Toye, for example, who was lining up the leagues. So it's just a team of functional guys who hopefully, as the league progresses far up, from my point of view, of course not yours, that this is a team that's enough to get us up to the championship once again. And then that's when McPaik kind of rebuilds the squad, and I think that'll be the real test of his imaginability.
Yeah, I mean, a player that's really impressed me has been Joe Chalmers. Like his like stats are off. You know, I think Stuart Ross, who does kind of breakdowns of players, I saw he put up a chart of what Joe Chalmers has done in League One, and like his stats are off the charts, and he's been really impressive for you this season.
Yeah, he's usually made to be at the scapegoat. I don't really know why. Maybe it's maybe the Celtic background. Maybe people think that you come from one of the old firm teams that you're instantly, you've got to be a player, you've got to be a kind of star man. He missed a penalty against Alba that knocked us out of the League Cup eventually. So he does get coming for his critics, but I've never really seen that, like a necessarily a terrible performance for him. I think he's very comfortable on the ball. He likes to progress it. I just think that maybe the defensive end is not quite what you want from him. But again, he's not quite in the team for that. That's what Chris Hamilton's there to do. That's what Paul Allen's there to do. Mop up behind him, make the tackles. He's more of the start of the attacks, let it flow through him. But I think he's a very fine footballer, and he's a player playing definitely in the championship once again. But I think the real standouts in our team just now are Josh Edwards, our left wing back. He's been touted for moved into England for a couple of years now. It's never quite got to that stage yet. And I think Matthew Todd, come through up through the academy, just very industrious. He scored them basically from the halfway line against Clyde a few weeks back. He's adding that kind of his arsenal. Not like he's going to score from the halfway line every week, of course, but those goals, that kind of drive to go forward and get into the box, I think McPaik's kind of bringing out the best of him now. I think he was very impressed from early on in his career, and I think that's why he's been one of the mainstays in the team as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kel Benedict is always, he always looks like, has he made a big difference, do you think, just in terms of leadership on the pitch, the defensive capabilities of Dunfermline?
Yeah, I think the fact he's come in immediately and took over the captaincy from Kyle Benedict, took over the captaincy from Graham Dorans, spoke volumes to him. And the fact that McPaik knew him from his Dundee days, obviously can rely on him immediately as kind of intermediary between him and the dressing room. And I think he has just calmed everything down. Obviously, he's got experience from being in the lower leagues. And I think that he's aided the likes of Rhys Breen, who's kind of in and out of the team last season, his defensive centre-back partner now. Now Sam Fisher's coming to the team in the back three. He seems very assured immediately. And I think the fact that now Benedict is surrounded by guys, he just needs to be that kind of guy in the middle, making the tackles, making the headers, not being exposed as he was in the Falkirk game towards the end when he made that tackle and probably should have got a second booking for it as well. I don't think you'll see too many of him being put in that situation at the weekend, but I think he just comes across as a very assured, mild-mannered guy, but very direct in what he wants. And the fact he took the penalty as well when in the Falkirk game shows you that he's ready to step up at any occasion and kind of put himself forward in big high-pressure situations.
I was actually quite surprised when he stepped up to take the penalty, Michael, because I didn't realise he was a penalty taker, to be honest. That was
No, it was the same with us because Lewis McCann, I think he was off the field at the time, but he took Dunfermline's last penalty. We would have thought Todorov would have liked a shot at it as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, more technical players like Chris Mockney or like Joe Chalmers would have stepped up again, tried to right the wrongs. But
yeah,
I think when it was strange when he kind of took up, but he seemed very assured of that. That was what he was going to do. He was the guy that was going to take it. There were no questions about it. So I thought it was very interesting. I just like the presence that he has in the team as well. And I think it's very hard when you're a guy that comes from a rival team, like he did from Raith Rovers immediately, and try to slot into one of the rivals' teams. You're going to get a bit of stick immediately from the fans, but all that's in the past now. We almost see it like a kind of feather in the cap that he has come to the Dunfermline, and he has kind of spurred the likes of maybe McGlynn, who he could have went to Falkirk with, or he could have stayed at Raith Rovers with Ian Murray. So I think we're very happy in that aspect of it, that he has decided to join Dunfermline, and giving him a 2-year contract, it's a sign of faith. Obviously, Mick Pacook, as I've said before, knows him from his time at Dundee.
Yeah, there was a bit of chat that he was going to come to Falkirk, but then I don't know where it all fell down, but that's we then signed Cole Donaldson. So,
yeah,
I don't know, you know.
Because we, I think, well, although Donaldson did go down with us under, I mean, your secret agent, John Hughes, of course, I think we would have liked him back. I thought he was another Benedictus kind of presence. He was very assured, didn't put a foot wrong, chipped him with a few goals. And effectively, Benedictus is just coming with a bit more experience in Dawson and slid right into the team.
Mm.
And he doesn't have to be paired with Effie Ambrose now. As much as man of the match on Friday for Morton, he was an absolute disaster for us, as seen by the fact he got sent off in the game that took us down.
I mean, another point that has amazed me is Todorov. Like, 6 goals for you already. And like, I mean, you could tell when he was at Falkirk, it was a player in there, but he seems to be your kind of main goal threat this year, which surprises me.
I think it's because, obviously, the balls in from deep crosses really suits this kind of game, just get onto his head. Another thing they're feeling very effective at is the crosses, but the guy arriving at the back post for the tap-in, no team's really caught on to the fact that seems to be Mick Pake's game plan there. So as much as he's doing it effectively, he's been put into positions to be effective. And I think it is just the fact he's honed these games around being a target man, being that effective guy. But he's also got a bit of not the flair about him, but he can pass the ball. He's not just like a big lump up top like maybe a Chris Templeton was back in the day. It's a guy that can play a bit of football and bring others into play as well as score the odd goal.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we've got John McGlynn on the podcast this week, Michael, so we will be informing him of Mick Pake's little tactic there.
if he's not caught on to the fact already, then
I'll be all over it. He'll be all over it. Right, listen, Michael, what do you think the score's going to be on Saturday then?
I'll take any sort of draw just to keep the gap between us. Of course, I'd love a win, but I think 1-1 will suffice.
I mean, the thing is, it's a, you know, if Dunfermline wins, that's 7 points. And at this stage in the season, even at this stage of the season, you're going 7 points a long way back, you know, especially the way you guys have been going this season. Because it just seems to have that, like, just chug out the wins and grinding them out. We're obviously wanting to win, aren't we, Ross?
I think we need the win.
We need to win. I think it's for us. It's win or bust on Saturday. But I reckon it should be. You know, judging on the first, I thought the first game was great, really entertaining game of football. And it looks like we have sold out. We've certainly sold out the south stand. I think we're about 1,500 away from the main stand selling out, or maybe less than
1,500 tickets was the update the club put out earlier on. So I think we could be heading for. I think Dunfermline will sell out the away end come Saturday, and so you could maybe have 7,500 in the ground, which would be amazing.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Michael, I try to stop myself saying best of luck for Saturday, because I'm really, this week, I'm not meaning it at all. But I said, all the best, mate. Thank you very much for coming on Falkirk Daft. It's Michael from That's Never 10 Years podcast. Thanks for coming on.
No problem at all.
This is Falkirk Daft.
That's just about it from Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much to our guest pundit, David McAnally, my brother. And thanks very much to Michael from That's Ever 10 Yards podcast for coming on. But, Ross, we teased it at the start of the show. The big draw for the FSS, the hospitality, the Red Bus Bistro, what else? The Simon Steno tickets, and most importantly, that bucket of beers from Falkirk Daft. This is what's up, Ross. So let's start at the bottom, right? So we've got Ross in front of him. He's got every single member of the FSS, and each member has been allocated a number. Now, I here have got a number generator, which I'm going to share on the screen.
Let's get it shared, John. Yeah. So, just whilst you're sharing that then, John, I'll just give a bit of a recap then. So as John mentioned, we are absolutely delighted to be able to help the Supporter Society with their monthly draw for October. Two monthly prizes have been backed up by two guest prizes this month. So there's going to be four winners in total tonight. If the same number is drawn more than once, I don't know if the random generator would allow that, but we will redraw if we get the same number twice. So there's 590 members included in the draw.
I have typed it into here. I'm like, I feel like a bit like the glamorous assistant here, Ross.
I'm the glamorous assistant tonight.
I like this.
And just as John mentioned, the recap, so the first prize of Boardroom Hospitality for two at a future home game, courtesy of Falkirk Football Club, a beer bucket full of beer bottles or cans in the Brockwell Bar at a future home game, courtesy of ourselves, afternoon tea for two on a vintage Rootmaster, courtesy of the Red Bus Bistro, and that's valid for 12 months, and last but not least, two tickets for the almost sold out night with Simon Stainrod this Saturday, the 5th of November, at the Inshira Hotel, and that's courtesy of a Falkirk Supporter Society member. So thank you to them for that as well. So the winners, and we're just going to draw these and out, they will be contacted by email directly from the Supporter Society following the release of tonight's podcast. So
I like all these terms and conditions, Ross.
I like that. And what we'll do is we'll start with the two tickets for the almost sold out night.
Right, here we go. Who's going to be first out? We're generating the number. It's 529, Ross. It's 529.
Okay, Doc. So let's have a look here. 529 is a Mr. Harris Mackay. Well done, Harris.
Well done, Harris. There you go. 529 off the bat. So he is getting the Simon Stainrod tickets. Well, I draw the next number, Ross. It's very exciting.
Yes, let's do it.
I don't know why, but if you are watching the video version, for some reason it says Meet Girls from Ukraine. It's popping up on the right-hand side of the screen. This is not my computer, honestly. This is not my computer. Okay, the next number, this is for the Red Bus Bistro, Ross.
It is afternoon tea for two.
Right, here we go. And the number, 530. This is a random number generator. It's come out as 530. Okay,
so 530 is a Mr. Craig Ross.
There we
go. Well done, Craig, winner of the afternoon tea for two.
That's the best prize coming out next, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
The bucket of beers from Falkirk Daft.
Here we go, Falkirk Daft bucket of beers.
Let's are you selling us all out in the bar on Saturday, Ross?
It's whatever game the winner will choose, John. So it might be this Saturday, but they can pick whatever game.
Right, okay, there we go. It's all come out of Ross's pocket. And he's chosen this big bucket and the budget doesn't stretch that far. Right, here is the number coming out right now. 154.
Okay, so let's have a look here. 154 is a Catherine King.
Well done, Catherine.
Yes, well done, Catherine. Massive well done. And last but not least, it's our Boardroom Hospitality for two.
This is the biggie. Here we go. Right, generating the number now. It is 243.
243 is a Kirk Cuthell. Well done, Kirk. You've got the boardroom hospitality. Really well done.
That's all. That felt like a proper game show. I quite liked that.
And we're going to be able to do this at the end of every month. So that's
right. There you go. So if you want to get involved and be part of the draw, sign up now to the FSS. Get us up over 600 members. Everything going back into the club. I think the last they were saying was it 6,900 quid going into the club each month now.
Well, that was yesterday. So I think there's another 10 or 12 people, 13 people, I think, joined up today. So that's probably well over 7,000 pounds a month now, which is amazing.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Right. I don't want to stop because I'm so buzzing about this game now. Right. But Ross, I mean, like, we've joked on top of the advent calendar, but it is that derby feeling, isn't it? You get that buzz on the run-up to the game.
And everybody's feeling it, that the tickets are, as you just mentioned, the tickets are going really, really well. Less than 1,500 are all left for the main stand. It's probably going to be at the sort of towards the away end. I would imagine that's probably where the bulk of those seats are for available. So no, it's everybody's buzzing for it. We've got the Stainrod night on Saturday night as well, which personally I'm really looking forward to as well. So let's just hope we go there with a big win, 3 points. I know we got Michael mentioned a draw there. I wouldn't be happy with a draw on Saturday. I think we
need, I know. It's won or bust.
Yeah, I was. Well, it's not bust, but
it's not bust. But
the way everything's going, you want to win. I was really bold with my prediction last week, so I'm going to go with. I'm going to go bold again. I'm going to go Super Saturday 4-0 Falkirk.
Super Saturday 4-0 Falkirk. I love it. Come on. I'm going to be a little less than that. I'm going to go 2-1 Falkirk and just like absolutely shiting myself for the last 20 minutes. I believe that's what might happen. But listen, all for it. And of course, this isn't no way Falkirk Daft podcast this week. There's going to be a second Falkirk Daft podcast. Look out for it on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. We're going to be speaking to the management team, John McGlynn, Paul Smith, and look out for our social channels as well. We want your quick fire questions for them. So just the kind of, we want to make it as lighthearted as possible, because they let Lewis do all the serious stuff on Falkirk TV. We just want a lighthearted interview with John. Find out, you know, all about the man himself. So yeah, look out for our social channels and please put your questions forward to John and Paul. That would be great. Remember, subscribe on YouTube, like and share. If you want to sign up to our Discord, it is in the links below. You can get involved in all the chat there. We're also looking for sponsors. Thanks very much to Arbuckle. We've got a special sponsor coming on this week for the John McGlynn episode as well. But if you want any sponsors, we'd love to for you to get in touch. falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com or drop us a DM on the socials. Right, we're off to prepare questions for John McGlynn and Paul Smith now. But hopefully when we speak to you next on this podcast, it's going to be a Falkirk one. Come on, the Bears!
Come on, man.
But we can't go without saying the usual catchphrase.
Expect the unexpected, John. As always, buddy, let's do this.